Thank you for choosing this resource by Creflo and Taffy Dollar. Our goal is to provide an understanding of God's grace and empower change. Now listen to the gospel taught with simplicity and understanding, and watch it change your life.
We have been talking about how God speaks, and He wants to direct us, and He wants to lead and to guide our lives. And I've already had opportunity to show you how God speaks through visions and dreams. And tonight I want to talk to you about how God can speak through prophecy. Now, this is very important, how God can speak through prophecy. You know, there's a lot of things that happen with prophecy and a lot of misunderstandings. And my objective in this series is, you know, not trying to get deep, but just trying to show you the reality of it from God's Word, to show you it's biblical, that God will speak through dreams and He'll speak through visions. And tonight He will speak to you through prophecy. Now, I believe that we need to get ready, because there's going to be an acceleration. We're going to hear from God. You're going to be led by the Spirit of God, and God's going to begin to speak to your life. And so before I start talking to you about and showing you how God speaks through prophecy, I want to take a little detour and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I want to talk about, you know, prophecy, where we are right now, so you'll know what to expect. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in the King James and then in the NLT. So here's what he says here. He says, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and power." So in today's time, when you hear prophecy, it should be speaking something that will edify, it should be speaking something that will exhort, and it should be speaking something that will bring comfort to you. Now, the NLT says this, just so you can just really get a hold of what to expect when a word of prophecy comes your way. He says, "But one who prophesies strengthens others." So the prophet or the prophecy should strengthen you. And he says it encourages them. So not only should the prophecy strengthen you, but it should encourage you. And then he says, and it comforts them. So notice the three things that should be taking place in your life when prophecy shows up. It should be something that strengthens you. It should be something that encourages you. It should be something that comforts you. Now, if those things are not there, then you might want to be very careful about receiving that, because it's something that strengthens. It's something that encourages you. It's something that comforts you. When God speaks, man, that's going to be a powerful thing. And so tonight I want to look at how God will speak and lead and guide us through prophecy so He can bring us to the place where we need to be. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. And most of the time I'll go to the King James and then the NLT, because we really want to amplify this. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 18. And just notice what the scripture says. He says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy." So he's talking to Timothy, "according to the prophecies which went before on thee." So he says, "I'm charging you according to the prophecies that have already gone forth concerning you, that thou by those prophecies might war a good warfare." Look at this in the NLT. So these prophecies are equipping us for a successful fight. It's equipping us for a successful battle. So when God speaks and through prophecy, he's trying to equip you. Here's what he says in NLT. He says, "Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you." And these instructions, Timothy, are based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. So notice, God is confirming and He is speaking to Timothy through those prophetic words. And He says, "May those words, may they help you, may this prophecy, these prophecies help you to fight well in the Lord's battles." So there's an equipping effect that takes place. I mean, when God begins to speak through prophecy in your life, He's not only speaking instructions in your life, but He's also going to equip you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to comfort you and he's going to encourage you. So when God has spoken to us, it gives us a tool to use against the enemy of our souls. Now listen to that now. When God speaks to us through prophecy, it's giving us tools that we can use against the enemies of our soul. Now remember, your soul is your mind, your will, and emotions. And once you've heard from God through prophecy, you're equipped to battle all of those suggestions of the devil, all of those thoughts of the devil, all of those thoughts of failure, or I wonder if I can do it, those thoughts of doubt. When that word of prophecy comes, the reason why I believe God allows it to come to you before the thing even happens is so that you can fight against the enemy of your soul. So you can fight against those things that are trying to dominate your thinking. And so we must contend for everything said to us through prophecy. We got to fight for, we got to compete for all of those things that have been spoken in our lives and said to us through prophecy. You know, if God's spoken some things to your life through prophecy, man, and you know it was God, then you got to fight. You got to contend to hold on to that and to not allow the enemy of your souls to dismiss it. Now, we have to seek to fulfill the requirements that God has put forth in the prophecy. So God's prophesying something in your life, you know it was God, it encourages, it strengthens, it comforts, then we want to seek to do all that we can to fulfill the requirements that God has put forth in the prophecy. And more or less cooperating and walking along with it and not dismissing it. So God has put forth in the prophecy some things that will really equip you for the battle that is ahead. And when you take prophecy lightly, the prophetic promise can never come to pass. And I know some people, and this is why I'm teaching on it tonight, we receive prophetic words, we take it lightly, we don't take it seriously. We're not standing on it. We're not holding on to it. We don't even know if it was God or not. And there you go. God was trying to forewarn you, prepare you, give you the tools necessary to use, but you dismissed it. You took it lightly. And so, unfortunately, it never came to pass. And so I hope you just really get a hold of what some of the things I'm going to share with you tonight, because they are powerful things. And God's going to be a game changer in your life, and he's going to speak and lead and guide you through the prophetic. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and this is just kind of an overview over the subject. I imagine you could go a lot deeper into this, but I'm trying to give you information to just get your attention. You know, sometimes we have to be careful not to let certain things slip in our life. Certain things that we used to understand, don't let those things slip. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20 through 22. I'll look at this in King James and the NLT, but he says, he staggered not at the promise, referring to Abraham here, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So there's a promise here, and he didn't stagger after that promise. He was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. In verse 22, he said, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And so, you know, let's look at this in the NLT. So we got to stay on the promise. Just like that prophetic word comes to your life, you know it was God, you've got a check in your spirit that was God. You got to stay on that thing. You got to stay on the promise. You don't stagger. Look what he said in verse 20. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. You know you received something from God and it came prophetic. Don't waver. And you got to know that the enemy is going to send a lot of thoughts your way for the very purpose of getting you to stagger at that promise, waver at that promise, doubt it. I don't know if that's going to really happen to me. You got to learn how to stay with it. You got to learn how to stay on that promise, stay on that prophetic, you see? And then he says he never wavered believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. I believe that's what happens in the prophetic. When you get a word of prophecy, it ought to encourage you enough for your strength, your faith to grow stronger. You should be really strengthened when that word of prophecy comes. And that's what happened with Abraham when he got that promise from God that he'd be a father of many nations. I mean, he grew stronger. He grew stronger. And then the verse says 21, and he was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promised. You have got to be fully convinced when God is speaking to you through the prophetic. You got to be fully convinced that God is able to bring it to pass. And then he says, and because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteousness. And so stay with it. Stay on the promise. Stay on the promise. Stay on the prophetic. What is it that God has said to you, prophetic? You know it's God. It lines up with His Word. It comforts, encourages, it strengthens. Stay with it. Don't let it go. Don't let the circumstances and situations that surround you let it go. Well, you know, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, the Bible talks about a more sure word of prophecy. And I want to read this in the King James and the NLT again, 2 Peter 1 and 19. He says in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. A more sure word of prophecy. Now, the NLT says, because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. So he's referring to the message that was proclaimed by the prophets. And what he says is, that's a sure word. A message proclaimed by the prophet, that's a sure word. You know, the New Testament, the written word of God, that's a sure word. That was proclaimed by the prophet. And we have a sure word. We have a sure word of prophecy. I mean, when you look at and talk about the Bible, that's not something that we look at and say, well, it contradicts itself because people don't know how to rightly divide it. Or they wonder if that's true. Or they read out of the scripture and say, well, I don't know about that. We have a more sure word. And it's written in this Bible. And I believe it. That means, you know, this sure word of prophecy that I have right here in this Bible, praise God, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stay with it, praise the Lord. And so, and the NLT says, because of that experience, we have even a greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote. He says, you've got to give close attention to what they wrote, for their words, he describes their words, the words written in this Bible. It's described as a lamp. It's like a lamp shining in a dark place. It's like a lamp. You see, if you're in darkness and you don't pay attention to this sure word of prophecy, man, you're ignoring the lamp. That this word is like a lamp in a dark place. And I tell you, you know, right now we're in a dark place in our country and in the world. And the word of God is like that lamp. It's like a lamp, and that's what I'm going to. That's what I want you to go to. That's what I want you to pay attention to. It is like a lamp in a dark place. And so he says, until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your heart. So ultimately what he is saying here is we have a more sure word of prophecy. It's sure. It's not to be doubted. It's not to be questioned. It's a sure word of prophecy. And if you pay attention to that sure word of prophecy, then you're going to have a light in the middle of a dark place. Are you in darkness in somewhere in your life? Or darkness with, you know, how to handle your finances, darkness in your relationships, darkness with raising your children, darkness emotionally, you know, because of all the things that are going on. I say to you, go to the Word and hang on, get a hold of the sure word of prophecy. That is your light in the midst of darkness. And those of you who have been getting in the Word, and you know, some of you have been joining me for our time of confessions in the morning time, that's our light in the middle of darkness. And while other people are in the darkness trying to figure out where to go and what to do and how to govern their lives, you and I are on that sure word of prophecy that is like a lamp, it's like a light in the midst of darkness. So the message you receive through prophecy It also, listen to this, also it has a correct timing to it. If you receive a prophetic word, every prophetic word that'll come to you has a correct timing to it. In other words, there's a specific time that this thing is going to come to pass. There's a timing factor that's involved in that prophetic word. And so you may get a prophetic word today, but you might not see it until, you know, a couple of months or something like that, or maybe a year or something, but it has a timing to that prophetic. Sometimes God allows you to hear a thing way ahead of time just so you can just stay with it and stay on it and get focused in on it, and lots of other things begin to happen to prepare you for the timing of that word to come to pass. So just as God gives us work to do, He tells us when, He tells us how, He tells us with whom, and those details are just as important as the task at hand. So there's a task at hand that may be given to you through the word of prophecy, but it's the timing is important as well. It's when, it's how, it's whom. I like to use this phrase, it's really maturing as a barefooted priest. You know, you're not walking with your shoes on where you're insensitive to the things you walk on, but you take your shoes off, you become very sensitive to what's going on. And I believe when you receive a prophetic word, it's important for you to understand that the timing is involved and there are details that are involved in that prophetic word. And you don't have to sweat to try to figure those details out. God will make sure that you get all of it. You just walk as a barefooted priest. He'll make sure you don't miss the time, you don't miss the who, you don't miss the details that are there. And so the steps of God are just as important as the goals of God. Let me say that again. I said steps. I meant stops. This is important. This is the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, even when He reveals something to you. Let me say that again. The stops of God. And what I mean by that is, you know, God may show up and just say, don't do anything right now. The stops of God are just as important as the goals of God. You know, everybody's really concerned about, you know, when is God going to tell me to go? All right. But I tell you, as important of a thing it is for you to know when God's going to tell you to go, it's equally as important for you to be sensitive to God when He says stop. Wow. So what if you've been doing a thing for, I don't know, several years and God says stop. And you know, you want to, why God? How come? No. The stops of God are just as important as the goes of God. That's that timing that will work within that prophetic word. The stops of God. I don't know, maybe God has spoken to you about a promotion in your life and you're in the process of doing some things. And in the middle of you know, this whole timing when you're waiting on this prophetic word to come to pass, all of a sudden there's a leading in your spirit, it's time to stop this. And for some people, because they don't consider the stops of God to be as important as the goals of God, then the prophetic word is ready to take place at this particular time with this particular situation, but you're not paying attention to the stops of God. I just really sense that in my spirit that there's some of you right now have ignored the stops of God. We don't ignore the goals of God, and sometimes we do, but they're equally as important for you to become sensitive to where this is concerned. Now, I want to warn you, because there are some people who just like going around and they want to prophesy to everybody. And you don't want to make people your source. You don't want to go to somebody, you know, you got a word for me, because, you know, you don't want to do that. Let's just show you what the scripture says. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. This is so very important. Matthew 7, verse 21. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. I thought this was very interesting. I've never taken this out on this verse of scripture before, but notice what he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. So obviously there are going to be some people who are going around talking about the Lord said that and the Lord said this, and it's not going to be so. These are the people who are always trying to give a word. Have you ever met anybody like that? They're always trying to get a word. When I was in college, I would come in contact with Christians. They're always trying to give a word. It made me a little uncomfortable because I couldn't receive anything they said. Every time I came around, they said they had a word for me. And so depending on others to know the will of God is dangerous. You don't want to get in a place where you're depending on other people to know the will of God for you. You have a relationship with God. You don't want to depend on other people. Please get that. Don't depend on other people to know the will of God. Don't depend on other people to know the will of God for your life. If there's one area that you need to make sure that you know for yourself, and that's the will of God for yourself. Because I tell you, when the problems show up and the situations come and you're confronted with all of these different things, you better feel comfortable that you know the will of God for yourself because God's spoken it to your heart and you are convinced. But don't depend on other people to know the will of God for you. You know, oftentimes people will say to me, well, I don't know what to do and I don't know how to respond here. And my response is, you need to get on your face and you need to pray until something happens. You need to pray until you resolve this issue. I don't want to be the one going around, Lord, Lord, and you know, you depending on me to know the will of God for your life. And even as a pastor, I don't want you to depend on me to know the will of God for your life. You need to know the will of God for your life. You don't go around and pay some prophet to show you the will of God for your life, or stop by the crystal ball lady and have her to look in your ball, your round ball, and see if she can say something or read your palms and all that kind of stuff. You need to know the will of God for your life. Now, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 23 and 21. This is very interesting how he says this. Because as a sheep of God, the Bible says, my sheep, they know my voice, they hear me. And as a sheep of God, you need to know God's voice for yourself. And Jeremiah 23 and verse 21, he says, I have not sent these prophets. He says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, and yet they prophesied. I think that's so effective. Look at this in the New Living Translation. There are people that are going to come around your way. God said, I didn't send them. There are people that are coming and try to prophesy to you. God said, I hadn't spoken anything through them. He says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they run around claiming to speak for me. He says, I have given them no message, yet they go on prophesying. I believe Jeremiah, and I so appreciate this scripture here, is just to let you know that you've got to be a sheep that knows God's voice. You've got to know that when somebody comes around you and they are prophesying discouragement instead of encouragement, they are prophesying something that makes you feel weak, they're prophesying something that takes away all comfort, you've got to know from 1 Corinthians 14 that that's not God. I showed you at the beginning of this teaching that when prophecy goes forth, it will exhort, which means it will strengthen you. It will encourage you. It will comfort you. And if you're not getting exhortation, comfort, and strength, that's probably not from God. You need to know that. You need to, when someone comes around you and prophesies, you need to know, all right, what that person said. Does it encourage me? Does it strengthen me? Does it give comfort to me? If somebody's prophesying to you and you're full of fear, and if somebody's prophesying to you and you're full of pressure, somebody comes up to you and say, well, you need to marry that person right there, and you look at them, you're like, I'm not even interested. They're not even my type. Well, but that's what the prophet said. Let me go do it. You better learn how to recognize God's voice for yourself, because I've seen a lot of lives messed up listening to what Jeremiah's warning. He says, I have not sent these prophets, and yet they run around claiming to speak for me. There are lots of people that in church that run around claiming to speak for God. And he says, I have given them no message, and yet they go on prophesying as if I gave them something to say. You know, the great thing about being a Christian is that Christianity is not a religion. It is an opportunity for you to have a personal relationship with God. That's what Christianity is about, having a personal relationship with God. Now, to call yourself a Christian and not ignite a personal relationship with God, this is the trouble you get into. And you don't know God's voice. You don't spend time praying. You don't spend time getting in the Word. You get desperate in your life. Some guy that God had sent shows up, tells you something. You're desperate. You believe it. Then you go do it. And then your life is messed up. Now you're mad at God. And He already told you there are some people prophesying, and I didn't send them. They keep saying stuff that I hadn't said. And that's so very important for you to recognize. So you don't need a prophetic word every time you turn around. God wants you instead to walk and to talk with Him on a personal basis so that a maturity can come to your soul, so that you begin to mature as a result of the time that you spend with Him. And I still believe this is so very, very important. You know, we're not trying to get you to the point where every time a situation comes up, you need somebody to prophesy to you. We're not trying to get you in a situation where, you know, you need some food, so you need somebody to prophesy something to you. We want you to live, not even living from miracle to miracle. There's some people who feel like they need to live from miracle to miracle. No, no. God wants you to live from the blessing to blessings, not from miracles to miracles, not from prophecies to prophecies. You know, I don't want to have a miracle to eat breakfast tomorrow morning. I want to be living in the blessing, to know that I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed coming out. I want to be living in the effects of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and not some kind of game where that's what some people do. They just play games, and they don't understand that God wants to do so much through prophecy. Now, I want you to think with me just for a moment. You know, the word of prophecy, it doesn't always have to come like a showboat kind of way. Somebody comes to you and, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. The Lord said that. No. You will know a word of prophecy that's coming your way. And you consider that word of prophecy. And most of the time, this has been my experience, I don't think I've ever received from a true prophet a prophecy of something that the Holy Spirit hadn't already dropped in my spirit. In other words, you know, when you receive a prophecy, it's probably a confirmation of what He's already dropped in your spirit. And that strengthens you. It strengthens your faith to say, whoa, that was really God, because God already showed me that, or God already spoke that to me, or that came up in my prayer time, or that came up in my Bible study time. And once you get that word that's spoken by that prophet, it shouldn't be the first time that showed up in your mailbox. It shouldn't be the first time. And so you ask yourself, you know, how do I know that I've really heard from God? Well, number one, does it require faith? Number two, does it require courage? Number three, does it line up with the Word of God, the written Word of God? Amen. Number four, will it require, you know, where your peace is concerned? Is there peace on that thing? The Bible says that, let peace rule in your heart as an umpire. So that prophetic word, is there a peace in your heart? Does it require faith? Does it require courage? Does it line up with God's written word? Amen. And so when you begin to see, I call those safeguards, when something's spoken to your heart and you want to know, well, was that God? Well, God's not going to say something to you that doesn't require faith. He's not going to say something to you that doesn't require courage, or, you know, He's not going to say something to you where there is no peace there. He's not going to say something to you that is completely aside from the Word of God and doesn't go with the Word of God. And it'll be anointed, and you'll know it is, praise the Lord. And so I want you to take hold of this. I pray that this series is blessing you. And the next time we get together, I want to spend time talking to you about how God can lead you through an audible voice. There are a lot of people in the world that just don't believe that as Christians you can hear from God. And so on our next lesson, I'm going to take you through the Bible and show you all the different examples of how God spoke and led people with an audible voice. And you'll begin to see and understand some things in a great way. Well, praise God. I pray that bless you. Let's go ahead and pray for those of you who, you know, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. You have no idea who He is, and yet you're miserable, you're upset, you're stressed, and you've tried everything else and it just doesn't seem to work. You keep trying to find something else to sit on the throne of your life where that empty spot was strictly for Jesus. And nothing's going to get better until you allow Jesus to sit on the throne of your life. For some of you, you have tried the rest, and I am saying to you tonight, it's now time to try the best, and Jesus is the best. Why don't you let Him in your heart today? Let Him in your life today. He's doing everything He can to lead you into the place where you need to be. But sometimes we keep choosing a path that leads to destruction when there's a path that leads to life. Let Him take you down that path that leads to life. Pray with me if you will. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I believe in Jesus. I recognize that I'm a sinner. But right now I repent of all my sins. I believe that by the blood that Jesus has forgiven me of all of my sins. And I ask you, Father, come into my life. Jesus, sit on the throne of my life. Save me. And so right now, I declare that I'm saved. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for being my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, congratulations, and if you just prayed that prayer of salvation with me today, text the keyword, I'm saved, that's one word, to 51555. And if you'll provide your name and email address, I would love to send you a free ebook as a gift to you today. Welcome to the family of God. Go to the comment section, let people know you just got saved. And World Changes Nation, let's encourage them tonight and welcome them to the family of God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching. We pray that this message has encouraged and empowered you to pursue God's best for your life. His grace is the pathway to living an abundant life. For additional life-changing resources or to learn about becoming a 2020 Vision Partner, visit our website at www.creflodollarministries.org or call toll-free 1-866-477-7683. Thank you for your support of Creflo Dollar Ministries. People like you change the world.